One and hopefully a few more will join, but let's get started and I'll pray for us, okay? And we'll go into part two of this passage. All right, Lord, we are thankful to you for gathering us. God, we bless your name. God, you are the good shepherd, and we thank you that you speak to us and we hear your voice, not just in a mental, intellectual way, but we know it's the voice of the good shepherd who has the best for us, who has good for us, who loves us, who will never leave us nor forsake us, who will protect us from the wolves. So we just thank you for gathering us, God. And we just want to sit at your feet, sit in green pastures, and allow your breath to come upon us through your word. So come and fill this time, we pray. God, we ask that you would open up your word and you would even give me the right words to speak in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So we are going to actually focus on verses 12 through 17. This section, there's three paragraphs, at least in my version, you know, verses 1 through 4, and then there's verses 5 through 11, verses 12 through 17, and I think they build on each other. And I was really struck by verse 15, where it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body." Okay, and I thought we would ask the question, how do we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts?
Yep.
It's so funny, Hephzibah.
We're asking ourselves, you know, how do we were asking ourselves the thing.
Okay. So how do we let that happen? Right. And how do we just imagine what that would look like, you know, when we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts? Right. I think something that came to my mind is maybe I will not be as easily irritable. I will be able to be still and know that he is God, even when I'm going through a storm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I will be happy. I don't have to wait for vacation. And I was telling the small group, you know, like when I first became a Christian, I was kind of judgmental, you know. I mean, I was immature, very immature. And so when I would hear people talk about the peace of God, I'd be like, man, what you talking about? Like, you know, I kind of poo-pooed it. Because I was like, I was more like, man, you read the word and you obey the word. And right, I was more into that kind of stuff. Not this feeling stuff, you know. But as I've gotten hopefully more mature in as a Christian, I realize this peace of God is very important. You know, and after all, it is one of the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is... one of it is peace, you know, and right, and joy, and you know, and I was like, in the beginning, all these things were like foreign to me, but, and so I want to just, you know, maybe we already experienced a lot of peace of God, and this is just, you know, then feel free to add to this a small group, but maybe we need the peace of God, you know, whatever we're going through. So it's really, you know, how do we, and it's interesting because in this passage, it talks about things like anger and wrath and malice, right? And it lists these practices of the old self, right? And so it's like, how do we go from anger, for example, to the peace of God? Yeah. And you know, I think a lot of us are familiar with Philippians 4, 6 through 7, where it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So how do we go from anxiety to the peace of God? Yeah. Galatians 5 and 6, it talks about you can either gratify the desires of your flesh or the desires of the spirit. So how do we go from gratifying the desires of the flesh to the desires of the spirit? I think these are all one in the same way of same thing. Like we're asking, how do we tap into this grace of God? Okay. And Colossians, this passage is really a central teaching in the New Testament because it talks about putting off and putting on. And I know I've been talking about, it feels like I've been talking about this the past 3-4 times I've been teaching, okay? But I'm learning from it, and I'm hopefully I'll be able to share what I'm learning, okay? And I think there's a lot of little keys in this passage, okay? In the Colossians 3 passage. And so I'll just go through them. I don't have like one main point, but there's a lot of little things, all right? So the first thing that I want to mention is that you have to first put off before you put on, right? There's that, I think of it like a concentric, you know, like when you put on clothing, right? Like if you have a stinky shirt on, then you're not going to put your tuxedo on top of it. You're going to first take off that stinky shirt, maybe take a shower, and then put on the shirt, and then put on the tuxedo, right? So you have to put off before you put on. And it's the same thing, like, have you ever tried to, like, put on love on top of bitterness? It doesn't work. You have to first deal with the bitterness. You have to first deal with the anger, okay? So this is just the way our hearts work. Our hearts, you can't go from 0 to 60, like in a second, okay? You have to, I love this, there's a Chris Tomlin song, you know, like, Lord, I need you. And he says, one of the verses is that you guide my heart. You're the one that guides my heart, okay? And there's a way that God guides our heart from one state to another. We can't just snap it. I don't know any... I've never experienced that. If you have, maybe you can share how you do that, right? But I think our hearts need, so there's a way that we have to put off and then we put on, okay? And so that's very obvious, but I just wanted to mention that. The second thing that I want to mention is that it's hard to put off these things, such as anger, or bitterness, or frustration. I don't know about you, but they can get a hold of my heart. These things can get a hold of my heart. And so you can't just like rip it off. You can't be like, Lord, in Jesus' name, I take anger off. I don't know. I think that can work sometimes, but not all the time, you know? And so I heard this phrase and it says feelings. I think it's some Catholic guy wrote this, but it says feelings are, energy made conscious. So for example, like when you become aware of the feeling of anger, what's going on is you're becoming conscious of a certain energy, that anger in you, okay? So these things are not just like words, right? Right now they're just words, anger, malice, right? But they're energy, they have power, okay? If you turn really quickly to Colossians 1:29, okay? This is not just like some crazy thing I'm bringing up. There's this word energy in my translation. It says, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Okay? You guys see that? So we can have different kind of energies working in us, okay? So we can have negative energy, like anger and malice and bitterness, right? Or we can have God's energy, okay? Because Paul tapped into this. He said that his ministry to the church was fueled by the energy that God was working within him, okay? And it's like in Colossians 2:12, you don't have to turn to it, but it talks about how we were raised in the powerful working of God through the powerful work. It's like God's energy raised us up from the dead, okay? And so my point is that we can let different energies work within us, okay? And so this anger is a force. There's an energy, and we can't just like decide to let it go. It has a hold on us, and there's a way that we hold on to it, okay? And if you look at our culture today, so much of it is driven by anger, okay? Because anger gives you a sense of power, right? And it deceives you into thinking you're on the side of righteousness, okay? Anger actually really blinds us, okay? And the scripture is very clear, like anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Even if you think you're so right, okay? Anger is always wrong, all right? And so how do we disentangle ourselves from this energy, right, that can get a hold of us? And I've talked about this in the past, that sometimes our own logic or our thinking can fuel these things because we can feel justified in it, okay? And I want to point us to Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, where it says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Okay? And understanding that is important to becoming disentangled from this. Okay? And the reason why scripture says we die is this, okay? Is sin requires people, a living person, to be effective, okay? Like if there were no people, there would be no sin. Think about it, right? Well, maybe the angels and the devil, right? But people become instruments of sin. So Romans talks about how we can present ourselves as instruments of sin or instruments of righteousness, okay? And so the reason why death is important is that when we die, sin no longer has power, dominion over us, okay? And so because of that, when we as Christians, it says we died with Christ. There's a part of it where we give up the right to those things, okay? Part of the death is we say, you know what, I give up my right to be bitter about this. And I'm going to choose God's way, right? All my thinking, all my feeling wants to hold on to it, right? But I die to that. I give up that right. I lose that right, yeah? When you die, you give up every right, okay? You don't have rights when you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say a few things. Is one thing that I've learned is that I've learned not to be too proud to confess specific sins. I'm not talking about to other people, but to just acknowledge them before God, right? Sometimes we are too proud to say, yeah, that, like, Ooh, when we notice something ugly in our heart, we might be too proud to like acknowledge it, right? But I found that it's very liberating to say, yeah, I am so petty that I am angry about this. You know what I mean? Like, we have to be honest, right? So don't be too proud to confess even the smallest things specifically, okay? Maybe this little thing is frustrating. We're gonna talk about this later, like bearing with one another, forgiving one another, right? But, you know, even stupid pet peeves, I realize that I have to acknowledge them before God or they'll grow unnecessarily, okay? And the second thing is that putting these things off, it's a choice that we make. It's a volitional choice. It's not an attempt to change your feeling, okay? So you don't try to not be, you don't try to get rid of the feeling of anger. You say, I choose not to be angry. You guys see the difference? It's when you do that, the feeling might be there, but you've made a choice before God, okay? Now, once you do that what we do then is we're waiting for God to effect the grace upon us and disentangle us from it, okay? So putting off is a choice that we make, right? And saying, God, I give up my right to hold on to this. And then we allow the grace of God to, so that we can actually take it off so it doesn't stick to us. All right? So that's putting off. And then we'll go into putting on, because that's what verses 12 through 17 is. And let's just go through this line by line, okay? It says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And so the first thing that I see is that once we've kind of taken off all these things, we start with a whole new identity. We start with a new relational dynamic with God. And Romans 5 calls this, we have peace with God. Okay? There's no striving with God. We're just at peace. It means we don't have to do anything anymore. We accept his love. We accept that he loved us before we did anything good. Okay? And so we accept that we're his chosen ones. We're holy and beloved. So it all starts there. Okay? And then it says, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Okay? There's five things here, okay? And I think there is an infinite depth to these things, okay? And lastly, we talked about how when we put these on, it can feel a little bit like pretense, right? Like we might not be a humble person, but we put on humility, okay? We might not know what meekness is, but we put it on, okay? These are the virtues of Christ. But we talked about how there's a good kind of pretending, there's a bad kind of pretending, which is deceitful. There's a good kind of pretending that actually leads to the reality, okay? And when we put these on, right, then it causes that which is real, which is Christ in us, to come forth, okay? So there is a compassionate heart. There is kindness. And by putting these on, it allows that part to come out, to come forth, and to manifest itself, okay? The grace of Christ comes forth. And so I use this analogy, I use this kind of example in a sermon, but you know, in Doctor Strange, right? Doctor Strange has this thing called the cape of levitation, right? And when he put it on, right? Like it's not like Superman's cape where Superman can fly without a cape. Doctor Strange cannot fly without this cape of levitation, without, right? And so he doesn't have to try to levitate. The what he put on causes him to levitate, okay? And so in the same way, when we put these on, we don't try, but we depend, okay? It's like when we put on humility, we're not trying to be humble, but now we're depending on God's, on Christ's humility, all right? It's a subtle difference, but it's a powerful difference, okay? And so it's, again, not trying, but depending. It causes us to depend on God, okay? And then it says in verse 13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive, all right? And I don't want to pass over this because actually, these two practices cannot be understated. The importance of these two practices cannot be understated, okay? These are so important. If you want the peace of Christ to rule in your hearts, we can't skip verse 13, okay? Before we get to verse 15, you gotta get verse 13. Now, the way I kind of differentiate the two is, bearing with one another has to do with, like, if you have a pet peeve or if someone's just annoying, okay, with that person, you just don't get along with that person. They're not necessarily sinning against you. They're not doing anything wrong, okay? When they do something wrong, that's when you forgive, okay? So forgiveness has to do with when someone sins against you, whether intentionally or unintentionally, okay? Bearing with one another has more to do with just accepting that person as that person is, okay? And not letting your pet peeves or your irritability get to you, okay? And I think this is important because when we relate to other people, we can fall into, I guess, three different categories, all right? One is we have unrealistic expectations of them, so they can never, ever meet your unrealistic expectation, all right? The second is you have realistic expectations, but they let you down. They disappoint you, okay? So let me just stop with those two categories, okay? So even though we know we're not perfect, our human nature, at least my human nature, okay, I'm not gonna speak for you, but I find that I can expect others to be like perfect. I am prone to having unrealistic expectations of people, okay? I might not necessarily expect them to be perfect, but I might expect them to at least meet the standard. Come on, man, like this is a low standard, you know? But I don't realize that that's unrealistic. That's not fair, right? Like, who am I? I'm being the judge now. I become the judge, you know what I mean? And only God is the judge, right? And so I'm prone to having expectations of people that are higher, unfair, or they didn't even know, right? And when that happens, then when they do something that doesn't meet my expectations, then I feel, I feel wronged or I feel annoyed, right? And this is where God is teaching me, you have to learn how to bear with them, right? It's actually not their problem, it's my problem, okay? Now but there are times when we have realistic expectations or we have just the most basic expectations and people let us down, okay? That happens too. And that's when we have to forgive. And sometimes this can happen in our relationship with our parents, okay? Part of us you know, leaving the nest and then growing up into adults, is part of that process is, oh, wait, I actually feel disappointed or let down, right? And so there's a way that even in that we have to forgive, yeah? We have to, and I wrote down the grace of accepting others, okay? And I think without that, it's gonna be hard for the peace of God to reign in our hearts without, you know, the grace of accepting others, right? God's love for us allows us to accept ourselves, yeah, as who we are. And then we have to learn to accept others as they are, yeah? And I learned this prayer where, you know, because, see, if you hold on to unrealistic, let's say someone has a real anger problem, okay? Right? Let's say you grew up and your mom had a real anger problem, okay? And you want her to stop being angry, yeah? But in some ways, that could be an unrealistic expectation, you know? Because she needs the grace of God. Only Jesus, the Savior, can change her, right? But you may want, because it's the right thing, you may expect her to stop having an anger problem, right? And so what I've learned is that in that situation, oh, expecting her to change is unrealistic. And that sets me up for disappointment, right? And actually, that's my problem. And so I've learned to pray this way where you say, Lord, I accept that person as she is right now. I accept her that even though she has an anger problem, you know, and I let it go. I let go of my expectation that she be better than that. Okay. And then help me, Lord, to love her as she is. Help me to accept her as she is. Okay. I find that I need to pray this every day, you know, as a social human being, you know, and during COVID, yeah, at home. And so bearing with one another, forgiving each other, okay? As we do that, we receive the grace of accepting other people. Okay? And then we go to verse 14, which says, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Yeah. I love that, how love binds all these five virtues, right? These five virtues of compassion, heart, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. It binds it all together in perfect harmony. Okay? And I think we can all say we're all learning about love, right? I don't think any one of us has arrived. Okay. So again, we depend, we're not trying to love. Yes, we take actions of love, but we're depending on the love of Christ when we put on love. And then we get to verse 15, which is, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Yeah, to which indeed you were called in one body. And I love this verse because what it tells me is that as we do this, right, the peace of God, there's going to be a little particle of the peace of God in your heart. Okay? And so, as we, you know, put on kindness, right? And as we learn to bear with one another, as we forgive one another, as we put on love, it's what's saying is that the peace of God is going to emerge in our heart. And then now we can let it rule. And what that tells me is that I can participate or cooperate in such a way that the peace of Christ can grow in my heart. It can become dominant in my heart. It can expand and it can fill my heart. It can rule. It reigns in my heart, right? Versus emptiness, versus anger, right? Or hopelessness. All any, you can fill in the gaps, right? Fill in the blank, any negative stuff. Instead of that, I can let the peace of Christ dominate my heart. Wow. Like, I want that. That's why, that's my question is, how do we let it rule, right? And I don't have an easy answer for you, but Colossians 3 tells us that there's a process, right? And so I find that it comes through prayer and just allowing this to happen over time. Yeah. And at a certain point, I can detect, oh, there's a little peace. Yeah. There's a little peace. And it's not just the absence of anxiety, but it's the presence of peace. And then I can surrender to it. I can submit to it more and let it grow. And then it says in verse 15, and be thankful. Okay? And it's interesting because if you read this, there's thankfulness. Being thankful is mentioned three times in verse 15, in verse 16, and in verse 17. Do you guys see that? With thankfulness in your hearts to God, verse 16, giving thanks to God the Father through him, verse 17. So there's something really important about being thankful. And it struck me how verse 16 says, thankfulness in your heart. Okay? And let me just say one more thing before I go into that. In verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Do I see that? And so there's this idea of the peace of God ruling in your heart, letting the word of God dwell richly in your heart, and thankfulness in your heart. Do I see that? It's not just like up here in your mind. It's not like, oh, I gave thanks for that. But it's like, it's a way that these things have gone deeper and deeper into the center of our heart. Okay? So it's interesting that as we put on these things, right? Like as you put on clothing, right? What you're putting on actually goes deeper into the heart. Okay? And I think that's really interesting. I think that's really powerful and that's something that God has for us. Okay. That, you know, sometimes we can read the word of God and it's like in one ear, out the other, right? But there's a way that as we go through this process and when the peace of Christ rules in our heart, the word of God can dwell in our heart. And then thankfulness can dwell in our heart. Wow. Okay. And then it's then that we teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay. So until then, okay, we love one another, we bear with one another, we forgive one another, right? We don't try to teach one another right away. Yeah. But as we do this step by step. And finally it says, whatever you do, in word or deed, you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And there's a way that as we do this, right, it's like the presence of God or our sense of the presence of God takes over. And so we now do things in his name, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, we're one with him. We're not just doing things on our own. So that's what I wanted to share with you, okay? How it's really Colossians 3, as I read through this, there's not just, you know, one thing, but it teaches us the process of putting off and then putting on, okay? And I, you know, just a few things that have been helpful for me is I wrote this at the top of my notes, don't be too proud. to confess, to acknowledge just specific things, even petty things before God, okay? Because when we don't, then we allow those to grow unnecessarily, okay? When we do, God gives us the grace to put those off, yeah? Okay, so that's what I have. And at this point, I'll let, I guess we'll break up into small groups.